Blog Talk Radio.
Church, two locations is Bishop John and Dr. Janice Crenshaw. We are excited about our pastors, ladies and gentlemen. They pastor both in Morrow, Georgia, and in Pensacola, Florida. Wow, I love that. Two locations, ladies and gentlemen, one church. We are excited what God is doing at Kingdom Life Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, before we get started, I want to give you a few announcements and updates about the church, some information about the church. We'd love to have you come out and visit with us at either location. So if you're in the Pensacola area, of course, we'd love to have you come out on Sundays and visit with us there as well. That location is Kingdom Life Worship Center in Pensacola, Florida. That's 1508 West LaRue Street. That's L-A-R-U-A Street. And the zip is 32501. That's our Kingdom Life Worship Center at 1508 West LaRue Street in Pensacola, Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, our Sunday services, where Bishop and Dr. Crenshaw are senior pastors of, Sunday service is at 10:30 a.m. Central Time, and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Central Time. So once again, that's our Central Time location and Pensacola location. We'd love to have you come out, worship with us in song and worship time, and of course, the Word of God. Once again, that's Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. Central Time, and Wednesday Bible study at 7 p.m. Central Time with our wonderful senior pastors and leaders and members of Kingdom Life Worship Center, Pensacola, Florida. Now let's turn to Morrow, Georgia, ladies and gentlemen. Our Morrow, Georgia location, would love to have you. For those who are in the metro Atlanta area and you do not have a church home yet, we'd love to have you come out at our 6125 Reynolds Road, Morrow, Georgia. For those who are listening around the world and around the country, That is right outside the wonderful city of Atlanta. That's Morrow, Georgia, 30260. Our wonderful services, ladies and gentlemen, we have our Bible school and youth ministry at 9:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. We'd love to have you come out and listen and hear the word and participate in the learning and hearing more about the word of God. Also, too, ladies and gentlemen, our services start at 10:45 Eastern Standard Time at our Morrow, Georgia locations. Also, too, ladies and gentlemen, some quick updates from our Morrow, Georgia location. As mentioned earlier, our services start at 10:45 a.m. We'd love to have you come out. So if you don't have a church home and don't have a place to worship, we'd love to have you and be a part of this wonderful God's ministry under the leadership of Bishop John and Dr. Denise Crenshaw. God bless you. Also, too, for everybody around the country who loves to pray, you can be a part of our prayer night call on Tuesdays. That's every Tuesday at 8 p.m. with our pastors and church leaders. Call in number, ladies and gentlemen, via the phone is 712-432-0600. That's 712-432-0600. And the PIN code is 641591#. Also, too, ladies and gentlemen, at the Morrow, Georgia, or outside of Atlanta area, we also have a Thursday night Bible study at 7:30 p.m. at the Morrow, Georgia location. All right. Also, too, ladies and gentlemen, for those around the world, we'd love to have you come visit us via website. That's newlifekingdom.org. That's newlifekingdom.org. Okay, very good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's the updates from the Kingdom Life Worship Center Internet Radio Program. And tonight we are going to give you an opportunity to listen to our awesome, awesome women's ministry from the network, from the church network. That's our Kingdom Life Worship Center Women's Ministry Radio Show with Minister Monique Smith. And Minister Smith, I'm going to bring you in right now. How are you doing this evening? God bless you.
Amen. I'm doing fabulous, Mr. Kevin. Thank you for
asking. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. We're going to, first of all, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Sister Margaret, we're going to then go ahead and pray, and we'll get that mic over to you. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. If you're not driving, give him praise now. Come on. Yeah. Amen. Amen. If you can hear my voice, you better praise him, ladies and gentlemen, because God is so awesome, and he is worthy of praise. Thank God for Kingdom Life Worship Center, our senior pastors, ladies and gentlemen, Bishop John Crenshaw and Dr. Denise Crenshaw. We thank God for our ministers and all the members of the church and those friends who know of the Crenshaws as well, our senior pastors. So we thank God for you. Also, too, Minister Smith, you know we got to start off with prayer. Just going to have a brief prayer. Father God, we just release the airwaves to you. We release all the gifts, Father God, of the guests tonight, Father God. We release the gifts in Minister Smith tonight, Father God. Use her, Father God. Holy Spirit, just anoint her with the words. Anoint her guests tonight, Father God. And we just give it all over to you, Father God. Whatever you want to do, we'll release that to you, Father God. We want you to just have honor. We want lives to be changed, whether they're listening live right now, Father God, or they're going to listen later, and the lives will be changed, and they will give their lives over to you, Father God. They'll be excited about you. To be excited about themselves and changing to be all they're supposed to be in you, Father God. So we give you all praise, glory, and honor for the network, for our church, Father God, for our pastors, and all the people associated with Kingdom Life Worship Center, both in Morrow, Georgia, and Pensacola, Florida. So, Father God, we thank you in advance, and once again, Father God, we give you praise, honor, and glory, Father God, once again, amen. 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 And Sister Monique, because of this dynamic program, I also want to let everybody know we have the chat room open. If you go to blogtalkradio.com/men-let's-talk, you'll see the live broadcast. We will have the chat room open in case you want to pass on some questions or comments to Minister Monique and our awesome guest tonight. Well, with that said, Minister Monique, it's your network. You have it. I'm turning the mic over to you. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
Amen. Amen. I'm just excited on tonight about what God is doing. I'm excited on tonight about our guests that are in studio with us on tonight, our new members, and they aren't new to Kingdom Life Worship Center, but they're new to the Atlanta location, and that's Elder Martez and Wadrina Layton, and I'd like to welcome them to the show on tonight and just encourage them for their relocation and just want to get to know them on the air and talk to them about some of the things that God is doing in their life that's very exciting. Amen. Elder Layton, are you and Elder Wadrina there?
Amen. We're here, and we're definitely so excited to be on the call. I'm actually online, and I was trying to talk into the chat room myself. So, I apologize. I'm so excited reading the website and everything, and hearing Brother Kevin, and so I forgot all about you talking about me.
Well, I just want to say welcome to you and your lovely wife, and I got a chance to just kind of briefly see you all in Florida. I think I officially got a chance to meet you, but didn't get a chance to meet your wife. But you all were at the Fruit of the Spirit retreat that we had there, that Kingdom Life Worship Center sponsored in Destin, Florida, at the Sandestin Hotel, which was just a beautiful event. And the topic was weathering the storm, and we had a lot of people that were there that just had testimonies out of this world. And so to my surprise, when you came to Bible study, and I just kept looking, I was like, that man looks so familiar. And finally, Dr. Crenshaw introduced him, and I said, oh, my goodness. And so I thought you all were just coming to visit. So I was excited just to know that you all were coming to visit, but I was even more excited that following Sunday when you and your wife came up and said that you all were making Atlanta your home. So we just want to welcome you to this area, and we pray the blessings of God over you all as you transition from where you were to where you are now. And we'd like to get to know both of you on the air on tonight. And if God lays anything specific on your heart that you'd like to share, we want this to be a time where the people of God can be blessed. And if those that are listening would like to call in with questions or chat with questions, then we welcome that on this evening. So with that said, if you would introduce your wife, and if you all would just tell us a little bit about yourselves and what brought you here to this area.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for that wonderful welcome. And, of course, it's a joy just being on the show tonight and just knowing that so many lives all around the world are just being affected by you all's ministry and just you all's integrity and passion for just changing people's lives. So thank you all for inviting us here as guests. Of course, I'm Martez Layton, Elder Layton. However they want to call me, some say Coach Martez, however they want to call me, that's fine. And then my wife, Madrina Layton. And we're coming from Virginia Beach, Virginia. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to let her talk first because she said I wouldn't give her back the mic.
Good evening, Monique.
Good evening,
Brother Kevin, and everyone that's listening. I'm excited about, you know, being on the radio show tonight. But I think that's really funny, but that's true. You know, he is, I say he's the talker, you know. But to everyone listening, yes, my name is Wadrina. I am a woman of God, a woman of faith. I've been, you know, ministering and counseling for years. And now the place that God has me in, because of the experiences that we experienced, and we are going to, you know, share our testimony during the show, because of the experiences that we experienced, I went back to school and got my master's degree in counseling. So right now I am a national certified counselor, and I'm working on my licensure for the state of Georgia, so I'll eventually be a LPC. So that's where, you know, that's where I am right now as far as ministry, and that was just something that God, you know, put in me to do, because through my experiences that I was dealing with my affair, the place that I was in, the emotional turmoil and everything that I was going through, I just really wanted someone to talk to who had been where I had been. And I couldn't find anyone who had been where I had been. So the Lord just placed it upon my heart to go back to school so that I can be there for other women who come in, who go through what I've been through, so I can be there to talk to them and they can understand that they have someone to talk to who's actually been there, and I understand what they're dealing with emotionally. So I don't know if my husband, you know, wants to start off with sharing our testimony, but, okay, well, he's pointing at me, telling me to do it. Okay, so,
well, you can
so basically,
before you get into that, I'd like to ask you some questions about coming here tomorrow, what or coming here to the Atlanta area. What brought you this way from last? I saw you all. You were in Florida, but living in Virginia. So if you can just kind of tell us how that whole matriculation happened and what was, you know, kind of triggered that, that would be very interesting to know.
Okay.
Well, I guess I'll take on some of that. You know, we were in Virginia Beach, and we always knew that we wanted to come back down south. Originally, I'm from Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay.
So if there's any Alabama listeners on the line, roll time, wrong.
Oh, we forgive you, but go ahead.
And
the reason I say that is because I'm from Louisiana, but we won't get into all of that.
Exactly. And so, you know, basically, we always knew we were going to be coming back down south. And we knew we were going to be in the Georgia area, but we just didn't know where. You know, we were just like, okay, Lord, where do you want us to go? And so after going to the retreat there in February, which was just an amazing, refreshing retreat to be a part of, you know, and hearing doctors say we're so excited, Dr. Crenshaw saying, her and Bishop both, you know, we're so excited for all of coming to the Atlanta area. And so then when we came out tomorrow, literally when I walked into the church and they showed me where, you know, they were allowing us to have space to start the counseling and the coaching center there at the church, everything just kind of lit up. It just illuminated for me, you know. And it was like things that we can do in the city, things we can do in our local congregation, and just in uniting believers, healing marriages. And so we were just so excited. And so here we are now.
Amen, amen. So you foresee setting up a counseling practice in the ministry sometime soon?
Oh, definitely. Yes.
Amen, amen. Now, somebody might be thinking or listening or out there listening, thinking and not able to call in and ask, but why is it necessary to have counseling at a church or just for there to be counseling in the body of Christ? They may be thinking, well, I go to church, that's enough. Why should there be counseling attached to the house of God? I'd like for one of you all to speak to that just real briefly.
And I'll let the counselor answer that one.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, because, yes, we are spiritual beings, but we're also emotional beings. You know, we have emotions. So spiritually, you still have to have someone to talk to deal with your emotions, to know how to handle your emotions, to have to develop the coping skills that you need to cope through different situations, because you have a lot of spiritual people that actually have mental disorders and have different things going on in their lives, because that's just people who think that it's really just because of a lack of knowledge that we've had in the body of Christ, thinking that we don't need counseling. You know, I got the Holy Ghost, that's all I need, when in actuality we all really need somebody to talk to, too. We actually need counseling because we're just as much emotional as we are spiritual, and we need that balance. It has to be balanced there, and that's been something that we haven't had in the body of Christ for years. Now everybody's coming into it and having the counseling ministry set up in the church, but for many years it was like, you know, that was like taboo. You know, it's like, no, we can't, you know, you can't, you know, get into counseling. No, God gonna take care of all of that, when in really actuality the two work together.
Amen. And I, you know, when you were talking, something came to me because I can remember as a young woman or a teenager or whatever, just feeling like I needed to talk to someone about some things. And I was raised, and I know a lot of other people were raised, that your parents had this mantra that governed the house, and that was, what goes on in this house stays in this house. You don't be telling your business. You don't put your business out in the street, and everybody's business is nobody's business. And, you know, just all those little cliches, and so they made it almost feel like dirty or ugly or taboo if you felt like you needed to talk to somebody. Now, tell me this, because someone may be wondering this. What's the difference, and I know it may seem obvious, but, you know, I want to just kind of dispel some myths on tonight. What's mm-hmm. the difference between me calling a girlfriend and dishing and telling her all versus sitting down with a certified counselor or a life coach and talking to them mm-hmm. about my situation or my circumstance?
Right, because, see, a counselor is going to be a professional who's been to school, who has the knowledge that they need to help you in that situation. See, your girlfriend, anybody can sit down and listen to you talk, but they can't all, and they can give you advice and everything, but they can't provide you with the skills and the knowledge that you need to overcome a particular situation. So, and a lot of people say that, I don't need to go talk to nobody, but yes, you do, because they're professionals. We've been trained to help you to deal with your situations. We've been trained to provide you with the coping skills and the knowledge that you need to overcome and to continue to press on in a situation where you can go talk to that girlfriend, yeah, and you can get a release, but then next thing you know, you're dealing with that situation again. But when you go to a counselor and you are given those coping skills and you start using those coping skills, then when you go through that situation again, it'll come back to your remembrance. Nope, let me do what the counselor told me to do. Let me do this so that I can just move forward and don't get stuck back in this place again. So, yeah, you're right. You know, a lot of times, you know, we've been taught, you know, don't, and especially in the African-American community, you know, the African-American community is like, no, we can't talk to nobody. Something's wrong with me if I go to a counselor. And really, that's what we want to change, because nothing's wrong with you. Everybody needs somebody to talk to outside of family members. Everybody needs a professional that they can talk to help them to deal with a lot of these wounds, these family is. You know, these wounds that we've had in our families for years that have been passed down from generation to generation. We need someone to talk to help us to deal with those and to overcome those. And then as far as the coaching, that takes you from once you've been healed, the coach helps you to move forward so that you can pursue those dreams and those goals that you have in life.
Amen. That's good. I'm glad. I like how you put that. I want to go back again, and I may seem like I'm backtracking, but and you alluded to this a little bit, but I want to bring out that whole aspect of those labels of something's wrong with you if you're going mm-hmm. to counseling, or you must be crazy in order to mm-hmm. Seek help from somebody outside of, you know, your girlfriend or your mama and mm-hmm. her, you know, or the wives' tales or whatever. And let's talk about that for a minute, because I know that there's a lot of people that are struggling with a lot of things, mm-hmm. and they are afraid or intimidated to go and get the help because somebody in the house that they're living in may call them crazy, or somebody may tease them because they're doing a regular counseling session, or, you know, they may call them mentally ill or something like that. But mm-hmm. I think it's important to understand that. And you said this earlier, and you hit the head, the nail on the head, but that there's mental illness in a lot of arenas in our lives, in our homes, at work, at school, and even in the church. But for a long time, we haven't touched on those things. So mm-hmm. if you could help maybe dismiss that label of, you know, you're crazy uh-huh. or something's wrong with you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you need some help, or if you have to, you know, God forbid, take medication because of, you know, some of the imbalances that are going on emotionally or mentally. Mm-hmm. So if you talk about that for a bit.
And I guess a way to help people to look at it is you go to the doctor. Your mental health is just as important as your physical health. And the two really affect one another, because physically, if you're dealing with something, it can affect you mentally, and mentally, you know, affects you. If you're not healthy mentally, it affects you physically. So I guess mm-hmm. people can look at it like this to see. You go to a doctor. Everybody goes to the doctor. You have your regular yearly checkups for your physical body. Going to a counselor is just like going to a doctor. I'm going to a counselor for my mental my mental checkup, so that I can make sure mentally I'm balanced, because we need that balance every day. And for those who have those chemical imbalances and need medications, it's like nothing's wrong with that. You know, we all walk around, people who need the meds are just people who have chemical imbalances and people who may not have as good of coping skills as we all do, because honestly, everybody walks around with some type of Everybody goes through depression. We all go through different things mentally. It's just that some of us know how to cope better than others. So those who need to learn coping skills are the ones that will go in and see a counselor, you know, so they can learn better ways to cope. But it's nothing wrong with it. And so for people who feel like, oh, I'm crazy, no, you're not, it's just that you have to look at it just like I'm going to a doctor. I go to the doctor for my physical health. I'm going to a counselor for my mental health. They both work together, you know, two and two. One, if one's off, it's going to affect you. Off mentally, it's going to affect you physically. If you're off physically, it's going to affect you mentally. So you just have to look at it as I need to be whole and I need to be well in both areas so that I can function at my optimum self.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Last week we had a guest on and we talked about one of the topics that's kind of taboo in the church, and that's the topic of abortion. Mm-hmm. And the lady that shared her testimony was saying that she found herself in the midst of her relationship that she wished she had somebody to talk to, and because she didn't have anyone to talk to, she couldn't talk to her partner, her partner wasn't talking to her, that that she found herself trying to self-medicate through a number of avenues. But I think that's so important because that's, you know, we aren't psychologists or doctors or anything, the lady and I that were on last week, but we came to the conclusion that a lot of the people that are walking around today that are prostituting, that are strung out on drugs, that are using alcohol and drugs are basically trying to self-medicate some kind of craziness or some kind of foolishness that happened to them. Sometimes they were their own choices. Sometimes it was things that were inflicted upon them. But a lot of those people felt like, well, I can't go talk to a counselor, but Bobo down the street gave me, you know, some crack. Or this person right here told me, you know, if I lay with so-and-so, he'll make me feel good. And although the crack may make you feel good right now, and laying with this man or this woman may take your mind off of the problem right then, but it doesn't make it go away. And so then now they become addicted to trying to keep that pain away. So I just think it's so awesome to hear you talk about the mind and the physical body being in one on one accord, but also how they affect one another, and that we shouldn't look at it as something taboo, but that we should look at it as something that's almost like being in boot camp or physical training or something like that. And in order to be at our optimum in performance, that our mind, our spirit, and our body has to be at its best. So that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. Yep, exactly.
Amen. Well, good. So if you all will just talk about maybe your practice a little bit and what all you feel like your goal is or your you know, agenda is for this area, and just kind of minister a little bit to the body of Christ that way.
Okay, Martez.
And Minister Monique, could I just say something just to piggyback off of something that my wife said and you all had mentioned? You know, and it's also very important to understand, also as African-Americans, and I remember I had wrote an article about this, you know, see, genetically, keeping secrets are in us. Because even during slavery times, what happened was when you had the slave master, whether it was sleeping with you or you had incest going on in the family, see, its secrets have been there for generationally.
That's good.
And see, so basically with us, because see, back in the day, master would tell you, you better not tell nobody. And so then then you start telling your child, you better not tell nobody. And you better not go talk to nobody. See, that not talking to no one and keeping your secret, you know, that's been genetically and generationally just been passed down. So then it's almost if we have to break that cycle and that generational curse in our bloodline of keeping secrets.
That is so awesome.
Right. Because, see, where the secret is, that's where the sin is.
Jesus.
And you see, and so basically when, you know, even in just, you know, as we get ready to share our testimony, you know, that's what I just want people to understand. You know, it's hard to break away from something that is genetically and generationally tied to you without understanding knowledge and truth or having a new perspective. Because look at this. I remember I did a workshop on this where we just came from, and I said, isn't it amazing that the average African-American woman probably sinned, we did this, it was almost $1,500 to $3,000 a year on her face and her hair.
Okay.
You know, face, makeup, hair, nails, it's almost $1,500 to $3,000 annually. If you count up the cost for the pedicure, manicure, makeup, weave, hairdos, and all of those things, the average African American is spending anywhere between $1,500 to $3,000 a year. And I said, now, isn't that amazing? We put that much on the outside of our head, but if I ask you how much have you invested in your head, isn't that amazing?
That's amazing. And you know, the thing that came to me is that masquerading.
Yes.
You know, I'm from Louisiana, and so we are always celebrating some kind of something, some kind of festival. But those festivals are always signified by some kind of masks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we hang masks on the door. They, you know, people dress up masks for Mardi Gras. They have masquerade balls and things like that. And so when you said that, the first thing I could see was just a mask. You know, that our face is a mask. It's hiding, you know, that pretty hair, that beautiful lipstick, that nice eyeshadow, the colored contacts, you know, all of that stuff. It's a mask. We're masking and we're hiding behind all the pain that's deep down inside because of those secrets that we've been holding. And I'll share this and then I'll let you all go on and tell your testimony. But I was talking to my sister on yesterday and she was telling me how just different people in our family were having, like, kidney failure and on dialysis, and I myself have been experiencing a bout with diabetes. And I just started scratching my head because I'm like, God, this is like it's going down the line, but all of these are issues that deal with the blood. Like, what's going on in our family on the male and the female side in my generation that's causing all of us to be sick with issues that have to do with the blood? Well, a lot of our elders have died, but the aunts and uncles that are here, this is the trick of the enemy. One who knows all the oral family history has Alzheimer's, and the other one who knows all the family history is a hermit and basically doesn't want to deal with the family, doesn't want to talk about the past, doesn't want to say anything that brings up those who were dead and are long gone. And the thing is, like, let the dead bury the dead and let dead dogs lie and whatever. But yet this generation, we're dying because of blood issues.
Mm-hmm.
So that is really, when you said that whole thing about medically there being secrets in the family, and remember when I started off, I said how I was raised in a household that whatever goes on in this house stays in this house.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank you for shedding some light on that because I need to go back and start asking God to begin to reveal to me some of the things that I need to begin to now either be in counseling for or take them to the Lord and or take them to the Lord for him to pray and reveal and show me how to begin to pray against those things so those generational curses and some of those sicknesses can be lifted and broken off of my family.
Right. And that's so good, you know, that you and, you know, I just really acknowledge you for your transparency, you know, even about yourself, because, you know, that's good for other people that are listening to understand, you know, that's the first part that we need to acknowledge and change in our perspective to realize counseling is good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, isn't it amazing? Think about this, you know, because I'm like a third generation Pentecostal preacher. You know, back when you go back into the day when you had the pastor doing the counseling at the church, he hadn't been to nobody's school.
Jesus.
He had taken no classes.
Come
but
on.
Actuality, because he read the Bible and prayed, we just believed that he could counsel. I mean, just think about how much sense that makes. Just think about that right now. You know your pastor ain't been to nobody's school for counseling, ain't took no classes for counseling, but yet and still he counseling you.
Mm-hmm. And we
but then right now,
jacked up at times.
But this is what's really funny, you know, because I like to just, you know, like I say, you know, I knew family members there at Kingdom Life would get to really know us because we're very transparent, and you know, I just like to really, really challenge people's thinking, because if you went to a dentist who hadn't went to nobody's school, who hadn't went to taking no classes, and you let him do something in your mouth, and if your mouth got messed up, what would people call you?
Jesus, a fool.
But when you go to the pastor who ain't took no classes, who ain't did nothing in counseling, and allowed you to marry this fool that then messed up your life, but you did it simply because your pastor told you that's what you should do, now all of a sudden you wonder what's wrong with me.
Wow.
And see, a counselor is going to, and that's true, and a counselor, and just, you know, from what you just said, a counselor is going to counsel from an unbiased point of view, whereas pastors can't always counsel like that. They're going to have a bias, something, you know, because they're your pastor, so they know you. So,
I mean, so that's what we're trying to educate the body of, well, it's not so much the body of Christ, there's really a lot of African-American churches, because, see, in the Caucasian church and some other ethnicities, they understand. You know, my wife is a counselor. She's done an intern there at one of the child therapy centers. You'll be surprised. Them people had their child sitting up in therapy at 3 years old, at 2 years old. It's not that the child has a problem, but they understand. They want to get the child acclimated to talking to somebody. See, what we do at 3 years old, we take our girl to get her hair done. We want to make sure she understands about getting her nails done. They want to make sure they understand and they feel comfortable with realizing when I sit on the couch, it don't mean I'm crazy. Because see, if you start at 3 years old talking to a counselor, what you going to do when you're 15 and 16? You're going to feel like that's your best friend.
Right.
Instead of seeing like you got to pull... You got to almost pull somebody's tooth out to just say, why don't you go talk to somebody? No, my granddaddy said, don't never talk to nobody. I don't need to talk to nobody. My mama didn't talk to nobody. No, I ain't going to talk to nobody. And you just sitting up there praying with your hands lifted up, worshiping God, and just as cuckoo as you can be. Uh-oh.
And now
realizing
we're affecting others.
Right. Because of the fact that you know there's something inside of you that needs help, but the fear of exposing yourself to truth is really challenging. So I just wanted to share that with people to just understand, you know, the counselors and the coaches, you know, this is just like your beautician, just like your dentist, just like your pediatrician. It's just like my wife said. You know, you have physical health and you have mental health. We did a workshop in Virginia Beach, and it was called Marriage Maintenance. And this is something that I asked everyone there at the church about, and we had a great, great team and everything there helping us to do this. And basically what I asked everyone is, I said, if you have a vehicle, how many people would go 5 to 10 years with never getting maintenance on their vehicle and then expect it to run right?
That's
how many people you know, Monique?
None.
Because first of all, if you don't go 5 to 10 years without taking your car to get an oil change, to getting your tires rotated, to getting your brakes checked or getting your pads changed, and think your car gonna run smooth and run right, something is literally wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
But then my question is, what makes you think you can be married for 5 to 10 years with two different people coming from two different backgrounds, a whole lot of emotional baggage in both people, and just assume you know what? We're going to be okay. We don't need to talk to nobody.
Well, Elder Layton, I want to interject just real quickly. The thing about that is people don't do it for themselves. So that's why they don't have a problem not doing it in their marriage. So it's okay for me, and it's going back to that whole thing of masquerading. It's okay for me to pretty up my outside, but I don't take my own self to the gym. I don't take my own self to a counselor. I don't spend my own time laying before the Lord, not just reading one scripture, not just praying for 5 minutes, but literally soaking in his presence, spending time with him, having an intimate, personal relationship with him. So because I don't do that for my own self in 5 or 10 years or in a year or 6 months or 3 months, then why should I think I need to do that for my partner?
Right. That is true. That's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is a great point. And that's why we just really want to really bring that education and bring the encouragement to just encourage people to just know, talking to, and we, you know, and that's very important, talking to a professional, you know, because that's the thing that I'm so glad about, you know, because my wife actually went to Regent University, which is a Christian university, and you have Christian counselors. You have Christian coaches. So it's not like you're talking to people that don't have faith. And that's what is good because, you know, it's just like some people really prefer having a Christian doctor, you know, or, you know, a Christian pediatrician. You know, it just makes you feel good when you know you have people that are looking at you that also have faith, you know. And so, you know, so that's just something that I think is just really good, you know, for people to know you.
I hate to keep interjecting, but the thing that just came to me was we quote that scripture of let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, the mind of Christ was not mental illness.
Right.
The mind of Christ was balanced and whole and healed, and it was wealth and prosperity.
Yeah.
Amen? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that just came to me just then that, you know, we go around and we quote these things about the Word of God, and sometimes I think we're just saying them because they sound good, but we don't really apply them. But I also was hearing when you were talking that I have to be in control of my mental health, which now transformed me into a place of mental wealth.
Yes, that is so true.
Because now my thinking is being healed and transformed and delivered and renewed through Christian counseling and through Christian coaching and principles, now I can begin to shake off and move away and come out of lack and disobedience and sickness and disease and all these other things and begin to start living in that kingdom life or that kingdom lifestyle or that kingdom mindset that we so often talk about in church and sing about and quote that, you know, we are. I remember a couple of years ago, you would meet Christians in the store and you'd say, oh, hey, how you doing? And they'd be like, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord Most High and this and that and what and what. And not saying that they weren't supposed to be saying that, but sometimes I think we were saying those things, but yet it was completely opposite from the lives that we were living. And from the mindset that we were having. So we were professing things that we really weren't. But anyway, it just came to me when you said that, you know, we say so many times, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He wasn't, his mind was healed. His mind was whole. His mind was prosperous. His mind was about unity and not division. His mind was about building up and not tearing down. So his mind was about, you know, not scattering sheep or causing confusion and division, but bringing people together. And I think all that comes into having a sound and a whole mind.
Yes, and that is so true. You know, that is so true. Yeah, I totally agree with you. That is so true.
Well, I'd like to take a minute and just kind of let you all, I know that you all have a book that you've recently written called A Blessed Affair, and if you would like to talk a little bit, I haven't had a chance to read it, but that's okay, But if you all would like to talk a little bit about your book and just, you know, share some of your testimony, if you will, in this last 15 minutes of our time together. And for those people who are just tuning in, we're talking with Elder Martez and Wadrina Layton of Dream Builders Professional Coaching. They're new members here at the Kingdom Life Worship Center. They're new to the area. However, they've been a part of Kingdom Life Center, Kingdom Life Worship Center years before. And we're just happy to have them. And we're talking about mental health and mental wellness. But if you would just take a few minutes and talk a little bit about your testimony and share about your book, and then we'll wrap it up with a prayer for relationships and mental health and people's lives in the body of Christ.
Amen. I'll let my wife just share a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, our book, A Blessed Affair, talks about how an affair doesn't have to be something that comes to destroy your marriage. An affair can come to bring some clarity. It can come to bring you closer to one another, in which it happened in our case. The subtitle of the book is Be Careful What You Curse, because what you curse could be your blessing. Many times, you know, people are like, you know, you have an affair, I'm leaving you, I'm gone. You know, that's the worst thing you can do in a relationship. But in our case, the affair is what came and actually saved our relationship, because if I hadn't have had an affair, we would be divorced today, because the affair came and just brought us closer together. You know, the affair came and our communication was better. You know, it developed our trust and deepened our love for one another. So basically, you know, it's like I got so much stuff running through my head, so I don't know where I want to start.
Well, I would like to stop and ask a question, if I may,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of people, when they hear affair, they think it's like a death sentence to a marriage or to a relationship,
mm-hmm.
and you mentioned that. But from what I've read in my research, that the majority of the affairs that happen between a person who's married and the outside person not necessarily are sexually involved, that most of the time those affairs are mainly have to do with communication and intimacy. Is that correct?
Right.
That's
yes,
correct.
That's correct. Because a lot of affairs are emotional affairs. A lot of people, you don't even go to that next stage. They all, majority of them, you have different, like three different types of affairs. But one is just an emotional affair. Some people can have an emotional affair, then you can have an entangled affair where you have the emotional affair and the sexual affair, and then you have people that just have the one-night stands where there's no emotion attached. It's just all physical. In my case, my affair was an emotional affair that it was entangled. It was an emotional affair that turned into a sexual affair. But the affair happened at a time in my life where I was just emotionally broken. I was spiritually broken, spiritually just disappointed in just things that had happened, situations that have happened in my life. Like, you know, and I just think about this from a mental health standpoint, because you have so many people that go through things in their lives. Life happens, and it's either going to break you or it's going to make you stronger, and you're going to overcome. And in my case, it broke me first before I was able to, you know, to overcome and become stronger. So I was just really at this place where I was just really emotionally broken, spiritually broken. I felt disconnected from my husband because of things that we had just been going through in our marriage, and just feeling like not connected with him, not one with him spiritually. And I just felt like as a woman of God, I was just at a place where I was just like, you just have to go through too much to be who God wants you to be. And it was just, it's a long story, but actually it's in the book. We're very transparent, so we really go into detail in our book about the different things that happened, even in ministry, that just kind of just was like the breaking point, you know, for us. So, you know, and it just, things just happened, and I was just at a breaking point. So really I was just emotionally broken, and someone came along and just so happened to come at a time where I was emotionally broken, and I connected with them emotionally. So basically, me connecting with that person emotionally, then I ended up having an emotional affair, and it turned into a sexual affair. But what happened is, once I had the affair, you know, God was just speaking to my husband and just really dealing with my husband. And my husband knew I had the affair. You know, it's so much I can say. He you know, God was showing him in dreams that I was having an affair. And my husband approached me about the affair. And when we talked about, when I confessed to my affair, then he told me about an affair that he had had 13 years earlier that he had been hiding. So really, it was just really a place for us to really just reconnect with one another. Of course, there was hurt and there was anger there, but God just really came in and he just allowed my husband to, even in the midst of his hurt, to just really show me love. And then we just really reconnected with one another, and our love just became stronger. It really opened up doors for communication. Our marriage has really changed. It's just made a 180-degree change. So for us, the marriage just came to really bring strength, to show us areas in our own personal lives and in our relationship that needed to be fixed. And that's what we tell people: an affair can come to either show you what's wrong in your relationship, things with you or in your relationship that need to be fixed, or it can come to show you that you aren't with the person you're supposed to be with. You know, through the whole time I was having the affair, I knew my husband was my destiny partner. I knew God had a plan for us, but it was just all about me submitting to the plan that God had for my life. So, you know, it's really so much. It was just to really share our testimony in depth would really just be like, we would need a whole another hour to really just really talk about everything. So, well, you know, what? I'm sitting up here trying to just touch on stuff to see, you know, what I can share in the time that we have. But I'll let my husband, you know, share, because the book is actually written from his point of view. And what and at the end of each chapter, I just share my perspective on each chapter.
That's good. So what I'm gonna do is take the opportunity to read the book and then invite you all to come back at a later date and talk about this, because I really sense that there's a need for us to get deep into some of the areas, maybe with some other couples, about this whole area of communication. Because last week when the lady was on and we were talking about abortion, she kept saying how her and her husband had gone through, you know, whole periods of time, like weeks and almost months, where they weren't communicating with each other than what needed to be communicated, you know. And so I imagine that just goes to the point of, okay, well, I need, you know, $80 for the light bill, or here's a check for the rent. And other than that, having, you know, communication being, you know, virtually not there. And so I just really feel like we need to delve into that and really help people, because there are a lot of marriages, I really believe this in my soul of souls, that need the tips, that need the help, that need the training, that they may never come together to a counseling session. They may never be able to get together, the husband or the wife or whoever, or their time or whatever, to come together and attend the training or attend a workshop or attend a marriage seminar, but they may be able to listen to this as they're driving home, or they may be able to listen to this and log in, you know, in their private time singly, or even as, you know, as a couple. But you know, I believe that there are some good people out there who truly love and care about each other. They just don't know how to communicate. They don't know how to speak to each other's heart any longer. You know, they're doing the regular everyday communication. You pick up the kids, here's the mortgage, here's the car note, we need to pay the insurance, the bill collector called to get the money for the doctor bill that's 6 months past due. But they aren't talking to each other's hearts, you know. They aren't sharing anymore. They aren't sleeping in the same bed anymore. Or if they are, they're not cuddling. One is on one end and the other one's on the other, or, you know, somebody is on the couch. And, you know, I have this philosophy, and it's my own thing, but you know, I'm like, first, they're out of your heart, out of your bed, and then out of your life. And, you know, we see that transition where, you know, husband and wives used to sleep so close that one couldn't move without the other. Then one's on the other opposite end of the bed, and then the next thing we know, one is either in another bedroom or on the sofa. And it's not long after they move to the living room, they move out. So, you know, I think there's some key things that we need to talk about as we're ministering to women on how to begin to speak to the heart of her husband, how to begin to, you know, honor that man with her words, and how to just, you know, make love to his emotions without even touching his body, you know, just beginning to romance one another again. So I'd like to invite you all to come on, you know, maybe a couple of weeks or a couple of months down the road, and we'll talk about those kind of things. But in the last 5 minutes, I'd like for you all to just kind of touch on some of those tips on how did you know or how did you get moved past that whole period. You know, there had to be a time once the confrontation started that you had to make a decision that we're going to fight for our marriage. You know, we hear all the time people saying the cliche that marriages work, but I don't think until you've really been married do you understand how much work a marriage is. So let's talk about that for a little bit, and then, you know, let's kind of give some tips to some people who may can't afford to go to a coach or a counselor but wants to save their marriage. Where do they begin? How do they start beginning to come back together?
Right.
Okay.
And one of the things that I would definitely just say is even if you can't go to a coach or you can't go to a counselor, invest time into just really going to sit down at Barnes & Noble or Books A Million or even a library and begin to read books on marriage. You know, many times, you know, we'll read sports books, we'll read fashion books, we'll look at different magazines. But, you know, a lot of times, I mean, we used to make that a date night for our family. You know, not a date night, but that used to be like family time for my wife and my kids. You know, we would actually go and sit at Barnes & Noble Books A Million and just kind of look through different books that, you know, sit down, get you something to drink, and just kind of relax and read. Because, see, everything about moving forward and changing your life starts about what you're putting in your head, your mind, you see. And so, you know, we've been married for years, but we may not even never read a book on marriage. We never read a book on communication. And so there are several good books out on communication. One of the books we highly recommend that I feel like should be like the marriage Bible in people's home is a book entitled The Five Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman. You know, that's a book every couple should read. You know, every couple should have been and read The Five Love Languages. That's like you got to read this book. You know, this is something you have to know about your spouse, because in communicating, you need to know one another's love languages. And so that's the first thing that I would say do is, at least in communicating, you know, start reading, and you got to start getting it into one another's head. Because honestly, a lot of times men, we don't want to read. And I know that was a challenge for me. I tell people, you know, I didn't honestly read my first book until I was 25 years old. I mean, honestly, read a book, you know. You know, I'm just saying, when I was in high school in the 80s or whatever, you know, we did Cliff Notes. You know, I never really read a book for a book report. I just skimmed over it. You know, but I'm just saying, honestly, I didn't read my first book until I was 25 years old. You know, so with men, it is something about getting them to read. And so then you kind of make that some fun time, because, you know, so when they're reading, that you read together, because it doesn't help if the wife is getting this knowledge in her head, but then the husband, he doesn't have that knowledge. So that's the first thing I would say. Another thing in really just building that emotional love tank between you and your spouse is actually, you know, asking one another, what are your dreams? You know, this is one of the things we always do in marriage workshops, is get couples to write down their spouse's dreams. Because a lot of times the thing that drives a person is their dream. And a lot of times the communication dies because all we're doing is going in circles and we're never going forward. And so nobody really wants to talk to somebody when you don't feel like you really care about what I'm dreaming about. You just want me to take care of the house. You just want me to take care of the car. But what about what's in my heart? You know, what about what I believe God is saying to me? You know, a lot of times that communication ends because spouses feel like you don't care anymore about where I'm going. You know, so that's one of the things that I would just say that doesn't cost any money to do, but just really ask your spouse, what is your dream? And then really ask yourself, what have I been doing to help them achieve their dream? That's the next big question you want to ask, because I'm telling you, it's nothing like getting a person to talk when you actually light them up. And whenever you talk to somebody about what they're passionate about, that's when they're lit up the most. And when they're lit up, they're going to light you up.
Another tip on this communication I would also say is, it just makes sure also, because of the fact that we know that we're busy, we know that we are kind of in this world where everybody's moving so fast, but just take the time to just either text or just call to say, you know, throughout the day, I just want you to know how much I love you. Because honestly, we get so busy with kids, with job, with ministry, with side business, with other associations, we never really just out of the blue just make it what we just say, I want you to know I love you. You know, so I would just say get back to just the simple things. You know, simple things and saying, hey, I love you. Letting a spouse know, hey, can we have lunch? Just those little things that you did back when you were dating before you got there. Because when you were dating, you couldn't stop talking to each other. You see, you couldn't stop talking when you were dating. You know, but now you're married and it's like, well, I ain't even got to see you. You know, but you know, so to cause the pursuit to come back, you know, I would say, you know, go back to doing those small things also in your marriage. And that's just that. And so I would just like to just, you know, and just in ministering, I would just like people to understand, you know, one of the things that God told me, and this is, and so, you know, and this is what we want people to prevent, because, you know, like I said, we talk about it in our book and everything, but God wanted us to be like the ambassadors, as you can say, to let people know, don't go through what we went through. Mm-hmm. You know, don't come this way. We know what this path looks like. We know what it feels like. God blessed us to come on the other side of it and be happy, but statistics say most people don't get to the place where we are after infidelity. So
that was one of the things that I was going to bring up, is that most people's relationships aren't able to make it through an affair for one reason or the other.
Right.
So how do you make the conscious decision? I mean, do you just sit down and say, okay, well, this is what happened, but I still love you and I want to go on? Or because I know even when you do make that commitment, there's got to be a time period when there's no trust, or when there's you know, hurt and wounded feelings and things that.
All of that is there. And, you know, and one of the things we always start with first, before, when we were first coaching a couple, counseling a couple, when they're trying to rebuild from infidelity or where trust has been broken, the first thing, the first exercises we go through is to find out, first of all, was your marriage founded upon love? That's the first thing. Because
see,
people married for wrong reasons.
That's,
you know,
true.
Whether I got a kid, my mama just said he was the one. So the first thing we do is find out, was this marriage founded on love? That's the first thing, because we have to have love as the foundation. That's the first thing. The second thing that we go to find out in the exercise that we work in, we have ways of giving you assessments and other things to help us to see this if you don't know. We find out, are you married to your destiny partner? And what that term means by destiny partner is, are you married to the person that if you reached your destiny, it wouldn't feel the same without them?
If you can get to your destiny, if you see yourself reaching your destiny without that person, then they're not your destiny partner. But
if you feel, if you feel that you can get to your destiny that God has for your life without that individual, and when you get there, you're excited and you feel good about it, then that's not your, because see, the destiny partner is instrumental in you becoming who God says you are.
Wow. That's good.
They're instrumental. See, basically, I tell people, my wife is the only woman on the planet that I believe could have helped me to get to where I am right now today.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, she's the only woman on the planet that could have endured with what my destiny called for her to endure.
Mm.
You see,
ooh,
and see,
so
a lot of times we have couples that are married to people, first of all, that may not have been married on a foundation of love, and second of all, they're married to someone that's not their destiny partner. So then what we have to find out is, now that you know that this is not your destiny partner, what choice are you willing to make? Because see,
that was going to be my next question. What if I realize I've made a mistake? Now what?
Okay. Well, see, it's our job to only lead you to the truth.
Okay.
Once you get to the truth, you're going to have to make some tough decisions.
Mm-hmm.
See, truth costs.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, truth costs. I mean, truth costs so much, it cost Jesus his life.
All right.
See, truth costs. See, whatever people say they really want the truth, it's almost like that movie. You can't handle the truth. You see, you don't really want to know the truth. Because, see, the truth is you made a big mistake. You got 3 kids, you're miserable, and now you're wondering, what do I do? Well, the truth is you married the wrong person, so now what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
But, see, can't nobody make that decision but you. Because guess what? This is like what I try to explain to people. You got to almost think about it like this. When you think about, I'm very illustrative or whatever you want to call that word, imaginative or whatever. Just imagine you being in the middle of the United States. Okay, wherever that middle is, I'm not saying what city or whatever. You're in the middle. Okay, God's will for your life and his perfect destiny is for you to be in the South.
Okay.
You married somebody, and now you out West.
Jesus.
So now when the time comes and you realize you're supposed to be down South, but, of course, you married somebody that took you out west that never wants to go down south. Now you got a choice to make.
Hmm.
And see, what happens is, let me help you. The sound that you just made is the sound that many couples that are saved, speaking in tongues, love the Lord with their life, and go to church 3 times a week, that's the same sound they make because they realize they're in that situation. So what do I do? Well, you got it now. You got some tough choice. See, it's like I want to help people to understand. Being a Christian is tough choices. You married this person in ignorance. You got into this relationship deceitfully. But now, although it is 12 years later, now that you've come to the truth, what are you gonna do? What are you going to do now? And so basically that's the part at that point, regardless of your decision, because you're the one that has to make the decision, as professional people, we're there to coach you to the best place that we can with what you've decided to do. Because regardless, you're going to need, because this is the thing. The one word that changes everything about a person's life, you know what that word is?
What?
Information. Information changes everything about your life. Once you get new information, that information could literally change everything about your future.
Okay.
Information. Or you can say knowledge. So once you've got knowledge and you know the truth, now what are you going to do? Because, see, now you have that knowledge. You never again can say, God, why is this? What is this? What's going on? Because, see, you did it out of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say something, Sister Monique?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, Lord. Cause y'all, okay. My mother was married 4 times. Now, this was before I got married.
Okay.
My father was married 3 times and had kids by 4 different women.
Okay.
My wife's mom was married twice, but had kids by 3 different men. And one of those marriages or one of those kids was out of an affair.
Okay.
My wife's dad never married, but had kids by 2 different women that we know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think about that. Think about what went on in our past, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When me and my wife got married, what were we up against? Jesus. We got married at 20 years old with no knowledge of knowing, with nobody saying, listen, do you all know what that happened in you all DNA blueprint, y'all relationship
mm-hmm.
blueprint? Do
mm-hmm.
you know the history of both of you all's families? Let's sit you all down to help you all be prepared. Because, see, back then in 1991, we didn't have the knowledge that we have now.
Right.
Because, see, in actuality, although me and my wife got married at 20 years old, been together since I was 18 years old, we love the Lord with our whole heart, we believed in God, we trusted God, we wanted to give our life to God, we had issues that needed to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody had the knowledge to say, we need to talk to you all. Even though you got the Holy Ghost, there are some things that are going to be attacking you.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have that knowledge. So what I'm saying now, what we're trying to do is help couples to understand, don't run away from the truth. You want to know as much as you can about your spouse's relationship blueprint.
That's good.
See, every person has a relationship blueprint. Just like you got a DNA thumbprint, and they say that thumbprint, bam. They can tell, find out who you are. They can find out who your descendants and all this. That's the same thing with your relationship. You got to
mm-hmm.
look back. You got to know these things. So
it's so much. What to say so much. But,
yeah.
I'm just trying to give people some understanding because, see, what I'm saying is this. When you look at both of our blueprints, it's almost like, oh, my God, we should have seen this coming.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the statistics say 87%? Now, I just always round the number up. But the statistics say 87% of people who parents have an affair, they are going to have an affair. Now, I just go ahead and round the number up to 90. But they say it's 87%. So
mm-hmm.
even at 87 or 90% of people who parents have an affair, that means it's only 10% that's not if your parents have had one.
Cool.
Now, how many of that 90 you think is full of the Holy Ghost?
Probably 50 to 65%.
Okay. I just want you to know because, see, they got the statistics also on how much infidelity happens in Christian marriage.
Mm.
And see, remember, we're not just talking about physical affairs. We're also talking about emotional. Now, if
right.
I can just tell you, you probably know which one happens in the church mostly.
Mm-hmm.
It's the emotional.
Right.
When that single mom really loves pastor.
Jesus.
Oh, come on. See, I'm ready to really help some people be free that really want to be free. Oh, yeah, we want to help some people be free that want to be free. See,
yes.
Because see, that's what's stopping the flow of God because there's so much going on in ministry
yes.
that we don't deal with the real issues.
That's good. That's good.
Because I'm telling you, I have never, and I'm saying this to today, I have never seen or heard anyone talk about infidelity in Christian marriages in the church other than me and my wife.
Jesus.
And that's why God has called us and through, as God said to me, I'm going to use you all to help to deliver and to prevent others from going down the path that you all have went through because, see, really, I understand why people can't talk about it. I understand
mm-hmm.
why preachers can't teach on it.
Right. You can't teach against something that you're participating in.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you can't really fully teach against something that you're hiding.
Right.
And so God helped me to understand. He said, don't judge those preachers. Don't look down on them at all, son. I just need you and your wife to be transparent, to be honest enough to still help to deliver people because I truly understand some of the people we're going to be delivering are in pulpit.
Right. And, ooh, that's so good. Because I'm going to say this. Because a lot of the people that are in pulpits are still people. And
yes.
they still have issues. They still have hang-ups. They still have weaknesses.
They still have areas that they need to be delivered in.
Yes.
Some of them still have areas that they haven't turned over to the Lord.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you will be
yes.
very successful in that. And that brings us full circle back to the question that I asked you in the beginning of why do you think God brought you to this area? So now that you say that, it's no coincidence that he's brought you to this area, because this is an area where mammon, the spirit of mammon, the spirit that loves money,
mm-hmm.
which also some of its roots are homosexuality, perversion,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
lust, and all those are all roots and fruits and,
mm-hmm.
and parts of that same tree that hovers
mm-hmm.
over this
That's
entire
true.
Area.
So
That's it's correct. No coincidence. You didn't have a choice. You had to come here because
right.
that was your kingdom assignment. That was your
right.
that's your end time assignment, because
right.
we all know that he's coming back soon. But
yes.
he says judgment will begin at his house.
That's
so in order for him to come back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle, guess who has to be wrinkle free first?
Yeah,
the
we
leadership.
Do.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, truth has to
come. In my house. So I'm just so grateful. On today that God has brought you all to this area for such a time as this. And, you know, I'm just so excited that he's allowed our paths to cross, and that our hearts and minds can be on one accord. And one of the things I kept hearing as you were ministering was that your ministry is not only to help those who are married, but there's a whole population of single people
yes.
out here who are dying to have a partner, but they don't
yes.
know the first thing about how to choose a mate, how to
mm-hmm.
be a mate, how to
mm-hmm.
be a Christian, even though they've been raised in the church and they've heard all these, they've gone to 10 million,
mm-hmm.
you know, what do you call those, single seminars or whatever, but they don't know from a married perspective how to
mm-hmm.
be a husband or a wife. And
right.
so when you all were talking about some of the challenges that you experience in your marriage, I just kept hearing single seminar,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, that
but
singles
see,
need to be a part of who you all are ministering to, because they will one day become these husbands
exactly.
and wives that we
mm-hmm.
want to prevent from having to be in these painful, hurtful
exactly.
you know,
right.
regretful relationships 5, 10
right.
years down the road, because they
exactly.
married so and so because their eyes were light colored and they had long hair. Or
mm-hmm.
because the shape of their, and forgive me for saying this, but because of the shape of their bosom or their buttocks. You
right.
know,
mm-hmm.
so there's so much more to relationship than what someone physically looks like, because when you're
right.
married to that person, it's 24/7 for eternity. Or
mm-hmm.
until death do us part. And that's a long time to be with the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us are living in holy hell, literally, because
mm-hmm.
we didn't know how to make the right decision. We didn't know
right.
how to pick or look for a life or destiny partner. Our relationship
mm-hmm.
wasn't based on love. It was based on lust. It was based on a one-night stand. Like you said, it was based on a pastor who didn't know how to discern, but said it was okay to marry this man, and now he's beating the hell out of you every week
mm-hmm.
or a week and a half. Or
mm-hmm.
you know, just all kinds of crazy mess. So
mm-hmm.
I just thank God on tonight that you all are here. You're here in the Morrow area or in the Atlanta area. And for those people who are interested in taking part of, say, a counseling session or a workshop, will you all have any of those things coming up in the future? Will you be doing that anytime soon? Or how will you be ministering to people, if you'll talk about that for a second?
No, we definitely are. We actually, like I said, we're actually trying to really start doing some counseling and coaching at one
okay.
of the meeting places there at Kingdom Life Worship Center there in Morrow. Really
okay.
probably full-fledged, like, you know, say by next month.
Okay.
We're really going to get that going, because that's not really something hard for us to do, just to let people know and let people know administratively how you do those things. So we're working with Bishop and Dr. Crenshaw now on that
okay.
piece. As far as the workshops, yeah, we're definitely getting ready to launch some of the workshops that we were doing, like in Virginia Beach and really start doing some here and also in Pensacola and Memphis, Tennessee, and some other areas where, you know, we've actually been a part of different fellowships and churches. And if anyone want us to come to their church to do a workshop, you know, you can still just either contact us by email, which is there at our website at dreambuilderscoaching.net. And dreambuilderscoaching is all one word. Or you can always also give me a call, 757-404-9200. And the number is also there at the website. And you can also sign up for either coaching or counseling there at the website. Everything is done there at the website. And as far as the upcoming events that we're working on doing and setting up now, we're also going to have that there. And just saying something else that you said earlier, also my wife and I are both certified premarital counselors. So we have an extensive assessment for singles to do and those that are just in their relationship before they get married, and also for married couples. It's actually called Prepare Enrich, which that's been used over like 3 million people internationally. And so that's a great assessment and great program. So we do know we want to help singles. You know, I got a daughter myself that's 21 years old and, you know, son that's 18 years old. So we want to educate the singles so they don't go through what we've been through and they don't go through a lot of the hurt, because it's not that you run away from the person you love. You just want to know what you're dealing with. You know, I always tell people it's like when you get a car. If you're going to buy a used car, what's the first thing they say you ask for? A Carfax. You know, you don't buy a used car without a Carfax. Well, it's just like in a relationship. You don't date nobody without no relationship facts. You want to know these things. I want to know where you've been. I want to know, you know. So we just help people to understand just how to ask the tough questions, because sometimes when you're really just in love or falling in love, you forget about the truth. And so we just really kind of want to help you to know these things, and not to say that you run away, but just when you know it, you can better deal with it and you're better equipped to prepare yourself for it. And so, but definitely as far as ministering, you know, that's what we want to do, because, you know, our book is all about grace. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, our story is nothing but a story of grace. You know, and it's amazing to me. I had just wrote this question down the other day. I say it's amazing to me how when someone comes out the closet, per se, about their homosexuality, you know, they get applauded. You have so much courage. You have so much confidence. You're coming out the closet. But then when you have a person that's been hiding with infidelity or adultery, but then they want to confess their sins, we judge them. We kick them out. We tell them you can't keep your job. We tell them all of these. It's amazing to me. But then when you look in the scripture, when Jesus caught the woman in the act of adultery, he said, I don't condemn you. Where are your other
accusers? That's right.
But it's amazing to me how with people, because see, that was me. You know, I hid what I did for 13 years because I was afraid to tell the church, to tell my family what I had did. I was afraid. And so we just want to encourage people to know, you know, that, you know, God loves you. God is going to forgive you. He doesn't condemn you. But it's just like the woman. He said, go and sin no more. So what we tell people is, you know, it is about being healed, but you also have to understand this is not something you just keep doing, but you really have to get healed from it so you can go and sin no more. But, you know, our story is truly a story of grace. And so, you know, we just thank God for his mercy. We thank him for his love. We just want to encourage and empower people as much as we can to just know that marriage is a really good thing.
I would like for you all to end with a prayer. There may be somebody out there who's struggling with infidelity or with lust or perversion, or just feel like, you know, they're just really struggling in their relationship. They don't know where to turn, or they feel like it's hopeless, the situation that they're in with their marriage right now. If you would just, you know, use these last few minutes to pray a prayer of encouragement, that would be wonderful.
Amen.
I just want you to know, first of all, we thank you so much for listening, right, and just allowing us to come into your homes and your heart. And I just want you to know that God doesn't condemn you. We're not condemning you. Whatever you're facing in your marriage or in your relationship, you're not there by yourself. You're not there alone. There are certain things that probably have countered or came in your life that caused you to be where you are. But I want you to know you're not in a pit without a rope. I want you to know you're not in some deep hole and there's no way to get out. I want you to know that God has a lifeline for you. God loves you. And there still can be love in your marriage or love in your relationship. You know, so I just want you to know that, you know, where sin does abound or where sin is, grace does more abound. And I want you to know that God has enough grace. God has enough love. God has enough mercy to forgive you. I cannot tell you that journey would be totally easy because we also deal with people. I can't tell you how the relationship or how people's heart may be or what people may say about you, but I can tell you what matters comes from God. God will forgive you, and God can restore you, and your marriage can be restored. That was a time in my life when my wife looked at me in my eyes and said, I don't love you like that anymore. But God turned her heart. He used me to love her. And I just want you to know, it doesn't mean it's over just because you are going through trouble in your marriage or just because it seems like it is ended. I want you to know that God is still a God that resurrects. God is still a God who brings restoration and who brings revival. So I want you to know that just as much right now where you are, that God can fill your heart with love, fill your heart with peace. And if you can just lift up your hands, regardless of where you are in your situation, and just say, Lord, please help me in this situation, God. I know that you don't have respect of persons. I've heard the Latins' testimony, and I know just like you did it for them, God, I know you could do it for me and my family. So I just pray for God, peace to be upon your life. I pray for you to find someone that you can talk to, find someone that can really encourage you and empower you, you and your spouse. But just know God is with you and he has not left you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 I want to just thank God for the ladies on today and them being our guests on the Kingdom Life Worship Center's Women's Ministry Radio Show. And until next time, may the peace of God be with you.
Thank you so much, Minister Moses,
thank
for having
you.
Us. We
you.
Enjoyed you so much.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. That's been another powerful program for Minister Monique Smith on the Kingdom Life Worship Center Women's Ministry with our wonderful and awesome guests tonight. Wow. Martez and Wadrina Layton. Wow, what an incredible program. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you to download this powerful message and send it all across the globe via your social media and email. I want to encourage you to go back to blogtalkradio.com/menletstalk and look for the Kingdom Life Worship Center banner, and you'll be able to click on this wonderful program and hear it again. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Kingdom Life Worship Center and our awesome pastors, Bishop John and Dr. Denise Crenshaw, remember to always out-love, out-forgive, and out-serve each other. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, the best is yet to come, right? And also, too, guess what? Those giants do fall.
And I came to tell you, it's coming down. It's coming down. Come on, get up and let's help us do this song right here. Let's sing it like we back in the 80s.
The harder they fall.
They die.
Just walk around. The very door.
Walk
around.
Knock
your nose in your neck.
Ladies and gentlemen all around the world, this has been another powerful program from the Women's Ministry at Kingdom Life Worship Center. One church, two locations, Pensacola, Florida, and Morrow, Georgia, just right outside of Atlanta, Georgia. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time, God bless you.